The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the second epistle we've covered that is addressed from Paul and Timothy. And, it's in Christianity, the way we refer to one another as brothers, brothers, brothers. And that is because we are all part of a single family. And our firstborn brother is Jesus Christ. And all the rest of us are his adopted siblings. At least that's by the grace of God, the promise of God on our behalf. It says in the book of first epistle of John the Apostle, he says, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. Grace and peace, the standard greeting, because grace is the first most important thing, without which salvation is impossible. Because the grace of God is the only means by which one may be saved. And if God isn't giving you grace, you can't be saved. On the other hand, if God gives you grace, you will be saved. So, let's continue on. And I know I'm not supposed to say so stop me. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So he gives thanks to God, and praying always for the people in Colossae, but since he'd heard of their faith and of the love which they have towards all the saints. Faith and love. The primary, the gift of God are all these things we obtain in Christ are gifts from God by the grace of God. It's faith, love. Because love, contrary to what people today say, is not just a choice. Because a choice is the way you love maybe your enemies. Well, I'm going to feed that guy even though he's awfully cruel to me. And I'm going to, God forgive him. But to really from the heart love something. That's why we talk about love coming from the heart. It doesn't come from your head. Though I know that people are going to, your heart doesn't feel nothing. Well, it is a figure of speech in English, but it's put for the seat of the emotions and feelings. And love, though it can be an intellectual process, there's different aspects of love. But the truest kind of love and the most spontaneous kind of love, the deepest kind of love, is love that is felt through something more than just an intellectual process, by the Spirit of God. Love one feels towards their brethren. But really, it can be difficult when if you don't have the fellowship. I mean, by that, I don't mean that you hang out all the time together, though that helps too. But when you're together, that you find you have things in common. Just like in a real family, you know, we have things in common. Well, we were raised together. We've known each other since we were children. You know, we have the same mother and father. There's a lot of similarities to us because we're genetically similar. You know, we have a lot of the same likes, a lot of the same dislikes. Maybe a lot of times siblings don't get along. But in this family, they do, and they have love one toward another. He says, to all the saints. You know, in a lot of religion, saints are portrayed as just these exalted people who are dead. Saints are living things. And not sinner saints. No, I mean a saint is a sanctified person. A person who is holy. Now that's, you know, you can't just claim that for yourself. Sanctification and holiness comes from God and His power being shed. And to be a saint is to be one who is in Christ and who is fulfilling those things which the gospel says are fulfilled by the work of God in the believer. At least that's the way I look at it. You know, to be, the sanctification process, to be a sanctified one, you have to have some sort of sanctification already taken place. You can't just, you know, the modern idea of a lot of people that sanctification is like, well, God just declares you sanctified and that's enough for us, right? I mean, and it's, and you know, here's the thing is that God declares things and before they actually happen. But it's also true that God does make those things He declares to really happen. So, God declaring me sanctified before I'm actually sanctified, declaring me righteous before I'm actually righteous, that's well and good, but He also has to perform His word. So to continue in this, without digressing too much into these issues, but you know, all these words have important meanings, and I feel like I need to, you know, they need to be vetted. You know, you have to think on what it is you're reading. What does it mean? What do all these things mean? You know, we've studied Romans, Thessalonians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and I don't want to labor these issues over and over for people who've already studied, but I part of me feels like I need to recap as I go into each book. And through the epistles of Paul, I probably will do some of that.